me share something with you real quick. I told you I was going to preach, but you thought I was going to open that Bible up and preach for the next 40 minutes and start shelling the corn. And I got something to share with y'all. How many's ever read Jeremiah chapter 18 before? About the potter. Anybody ever read about the potter before? Isn't that a great story? I was thinking the other day as I was reading through that story that the Lord wanted Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And the reason why he wanted him to go is because there was really a life illustration that he was wanting him to learn about. So Jeremiah decided to head on down to the potter's house. And there he was going to see this potter. He was going to see some clay. He was going to see a wheel. He was going to see this potter begin to take that clay and form it on that wheel. And the illustration that the Lord wanted Jeremiah to learn about that day is just like the potter is trying to mold the clay and trying to shape the clay. He said, Jeremiah, this is what I'm trying to do with you. It's what I'm trying to do with Israel. I'm trying to some way, somehow form you and shape you and to conform you into my image. And I can tell you that when I read that story, I begin to realize that the focus of that story, that it is not on the clay. And the focus of the story is not on the wheel. But the focus of the story is on the potter.
Amen.
Because you see, friend, I can tell you that it is the potter who forms the clay. Isn't that right? And it's the potter that is trying his best to be able to give that clay its form and its function. And when you think about that for just a few moments, I can tell you that God has been trying to do the same thing with some of you that are sitting in here this morning. But I can tell you that as Jeremiah was continuing to observe that potter and that clay, he began to notice something. He began to notice that as that potter continued to turn that wheel, he noticed that in that clay that there was some small stones. He noticed that there were some wrinkles. He noticed, friend, that that clay had some disformities that was inside of it. And so what happened oftentimes when the potter sees that, he begins to take those things that are messing up that piece of clay and he starts trying to pull it away. Whether it's the wrinkle, whether it's the stone, he's doing everything he can do to try to make that clay as pure as he possibly can. Now, when you read that story, you're going to find out, friend, that that clay, it did something that afternoon that oftentimes we do. You see, that clay would not yield to the will of the potter. And so that potter had a decision that he had to make that afternoon. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like the older that I get, the less my patience is. Can I get an amen right there? Now, if I would have been messing with that piece of clay, and I'd have been working on it and working on it and working on it and working on it and trying my best to get it to yield to my will, and it wouldn't do it, I don't know about you all, but I would have taken that piece of clay and I would have thrown it out there on I-95 somewhere. Amen. Because I can tell you that I'd have got tired of messing with that piece of clay. Amen. Because it would not yield to what I wanted it to do. But you know, the Bible tells you and I in that story in Jeremiah chapter number 18, five of the greatest words that I feel like anyway that is in the Word of God. The Bible says this, so he made it again.
Amen.
So he made it again. You see, friend, when that clay would not yield to the will of the potter, he just kept working on it. He kept looking at what was wrong with it. He kept trying to get the wrinkles out. He kept trying to get the stones out. He kept trying to get all of the disformities that were inside of that clay to make it what he wanted it to be. And I want you to know that oftentimes those disformities that are in our life is the sin that we hold on to. And the Lord is doing everything that He possibly can do in our life to try to pull that junk out of our life to conform us into His image. It's the wrinkles. It's the spots. It's the bad spots. It's our thoughts. It's our words. It's our deeds. Everything about you and I, my friend, God is trying His best to be able to resolve.
Amen.
May I say to you, friend, oftentimes you and I look at the Lord. We say, Lord, not today. Brother Dennis can go ahead and preach the best sermon he's got. Brother Jimmy and Miss Mary can get the best song they've got on that piano. And they can sing the best congregation songs, and you're going to sit there with your arms folded. And that song that's in the old hymnal, I shall not be moved. Amen. But my dear friend, all the while, God is trying to get you to wake up. All the while, God He's trying His best to be able to have that relationship that He longs for with you. I love what our dear brother passed out this morning. He passed this little card to me a few moments ago, and it just said love on the front of it. And I turned it over as you guys were singing, and it said, the greatest love. There is no greater love than the love of God. He loves us even though we've turned away from Him. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but boy, when I read that story in Jeremiah chapter number 18, how many's glad that God is the God of second chances? Amen. He should have thrown the clay away. He should have gotten rid of the clay, but He kept working on it. So He made it again. Friend, I can tell you that there has been times in my life that God should have thrown me away. God should have taken me out of this life. But I'm grateful and I'm thankful that He didn't. And I'm thankful that He kept the wheel turning. I'm thankful, dear friend, that He kept the Holy Ghost coming to me in my time of need and helping me to see and to realize that, man, the things that was in my life that had me bound up and wrapped up, that I needed to give that thing over to God and finally get to the point to where God, my friend, could use me in my time of need.
Amen.
I was thinking about the little story about the little boy one afternoon. The little boy went over to, had a little toy in his hand, and he went over to an expensive vase that his mother had in the house. That vase was a family heirloom. That thing had been in the family for over 200 years. Well, that little toy that boy had, he dropped it down inside of that vase. And that little toy was so important to him, Brother Dennis. And what he did is he reached his hand down inside of that expensive vase and grabbed that toy. And when he grabbed that toy and he started to pull his hand back out, he realized he couldn't get his hand out. And so he walked into the kitchen where his mother was at, and he had that 200-year-old vase on the end of his hand. I want to tell you something, but that would have been my mama. Oh, dear Lord in heaven, help us, Jesus. But that boy had that vase on the end of his hand, and man, that mama did everything she could possibly do to try to get that boy's hand out of that vase. She worked, she put soap in there, she did everything she could do. And for almost 3 hours, that boy's hand was stuck inside of that vase. So she realized the only way that I'm going to free this boy from this vase, so I'm going to have to bust the vase. And so she began cracking around the bottom of the vase very gently to try to see what was going on. And she looked up in there and she realized that the toy that boy had a hold of, that he wasn't going to let go of it. You see, when he put his hand inside of the vase, his hand was like this. He reached inside to get it. But when he grabbed onto that little toy, he clenched his fist like this and he could not pull his hand out of that vase. And when I read that story, I thought to myself, you know, oftentimes we reach into the things of life, friend, and it is things, my friend, that does not make a hill of beans whatsoever. And we hold on to this stuff, but my friend, the entire time God is wanting you to drop it and thank God be able to release you and give you the freedom that you've been looking for. You say, what do we hold on to? Some of us are holding on to anger. Some of us are holding on to bitterness. Some of us are holding on to fear. Some of us are holding on to worry. Some of us are holding on to guilt. Some of us are holding on to our drugs. Some of us are holding on to the alcohol. Some of us are holding on to family problems. Some of us are holding on to marital problems. But my dear friend, I want you to understand that maybe could it be today that God is trying to turn the wheel, and God is trying to help you, and God is trying to help you to see, friend, that if you'll just drop the mess, my friend, that you think is important to you, that, hey, God can give you the freedom that you've been looking for. Amen.
Yeah.
Because, friend, God wants what is best for us.
Amen.
Right.
Boy, oftentimes what we do is we hold on and don't.
That's right.
I'm glad we serve a God that's willing to give us a second chance. Friend, maybe Satan has come by your way this week and whispered in your ear and told you how worthless that you are. Told you how no good that you are. Just constantly keeps bringing up your past all the time. Last night when I left here, I was telling Brother Dennis, I got back over to Nottingham. In the parking lot over Nottingham last night, was going into the little apartment there that we stay in. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was a gangbanger walking across the parking lot over Nottingham. And as he was walking across, he was walking right at me. I said, here we go. And so he come across, and I said, can I help you? And he said, yeah. He says, I need a ride to the Wawa, is what he said. He said, this is a dangerous road. And I saw that he had tattoos all over his face. I saw all the stuff. I seen the gangbanger signs all over his hands. I saw all that. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to witness to that boy last night and talk to him at 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, hey, jump in the car, man. I'll run you down there. And I ran him down to the Wawa, and he and I began to talk. And he was talking about his life being so broken. And he was talking about how that he was looking to just try to start a new lease on life. And boy, God just allowed me to be able to witness to that boy last night. And boy, before he got out of that car, he grabbed me by my hand. He shook my hand. He said, sir, thank you for taking the time to be able to just tell me some good news, because that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, I said, son, God's not done with you. I said, God can help you. God will save you. God will be able to pick up those broken pieces in your life. Friend, I can tell you that, listen, there's opportunities everywhere, aren't there?
Amen.
For you and I to be able to share the love of Christ with somebody who's hurting. Brother Dennis has afforded our family the opportunity to stop by here this morning just to tell you all one more time that God loves you.
Amen.
That God cares for you.
Yes, he does.
My dear friend, I want to remind you that Satan is a liar. Amen?
Yeah.
Satan is a liar. Friend, I can tell you, he is like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to tear you up. He wants to tear your family up. He wants to tear this church apart. He's trying his best to tear our nation apart right now. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So, friend, I have no idea what you maybe have need of here today. But I want Sarah to come around and sing a song that a buddy of mine by the name of Kurt LeBove. Brother Kurt was a blind evangelist, and he wrote this song years ago. And I want you to listen to the words of it as she comes and sings it. And with heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning, maybe you need to come. I promise.